Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to brand new episode of Gamertag Radio, episode 1493. Can you believe we only 7 episodes away to 1500? Insanity. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me is Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning. So then, bad math, end of March, maybe the first week of April would be 1500, right?
It depends, because recently we've been posting 2 episodes every week. So
Yeah, that's true. It'll probably be in March then.
Yeah. It all depends because, I know next week I'm going to DICE. So we'll see. We'll see what pops up. But yeah, you never know, any last minute interview pops up there, you know. But how you been, man? Everything good?
No, I'm good. Good. Obviously, it's Super Bowl Sunday as we're recording. Is it echoey?
Does it sound echoey? But I can fix it. You don't have to worry. I can fix it.
I don't know what I'm about to do. This is my new recording spot, so
yeah, it's all good. No, it's all good. But I could definitely fix that with that whole echo stuff. It's not a problem. But a couple of things. We're gonna be talking about some topics here. Next Xbox. What was the Steam Machine? Not surprised it's delayed, and so on. And a couple other things. Also, a couple of days ago, I went to a mixtape event here in Los Angeles. That was a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of friends there, hang out. I got to talk to the creator of Mixtape. Make sure to check out the interview. It was really, really good. We had a great conversation. And I also got to play the game again, but this time they had 2 new levels that wasn't available at Summer Game Fest. Did you get to play this game at Summer Game Fest, Paris, or no?
I did not.
It's good. It's different. I really enjoyed the game. It's us that we grew up in the 90s. This is something I think we're going to enjoy a lot, especially the soundtrack is awesome, man. You know, it's more rock based, you know that, mm-hmm. but it's still good. Loved it. I think you're going to like it a lot. It's really cool. Cool story. I even told Johnny, the creator, I was like, man, I could definitely see this as like a TV show, a TV series or something. Have you been talking? He's like, you've been talking. I'm like, all right, that means yes.
Yeah.
So, are you excited to check it out?
I really am. I'm bummed I had to miss the event. Just work's been crazy the last few weeks, so unfortunately I couldn't make the trip up to go to the event. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, shout out to Annapurna Interactive and also Terrabuna PR for inviting me. It was cool. You know what? One thing that I found out, there was no date. Still no release date for the game. Usually when there's events like that, it's closer to release, but they had zero information about release date. I don't know why, but
I would imagine you try to get that out first half of the year, because we know once you get into the past summer, it's going to be chaos. So hopefully by May, hopefully the game's out.
I mean, even with this month alone coming, February, it's insane. Mm-hmm. There's so many games. Every week, multiple games coming out, you know? So, yeah. By the way, I saw some news that, shout out to Xbox Era. I saw them that they're going to go multi-platform, like everything. I know they changed the name to the website and everything. So, and I believe they reached 300 episodes. Congrats. It's hard. They reached that amount of episodes, man, for any podcast. It's really hard. But yeah, I noticed that, they announced that they're going multi-platform, and I get it. I get why they did that. We did that way back in the early days of GTR. And I remember at that time, people were like kind of making fun of us. Like, oh, you're going multi-platform.
Yeah.
Hey, we still around. It worked out. You know, I think at that time, people didn't really get it. Why? For me, I felt like it was important for us to do that because we could have more conversations of all about gaming. It also helped us to connect with other companies to, get reviews, opportunities, and so on. But the most important thing for me was just conversation having with you and with Pete, Mandy at the time. Well, actually, you were not even around. You weren't even, I think you were still doing Uncle Gamer when we did that back in those days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the reason also I noticed that some of our members were, the crew at the time, were playing other things, not Xbox. It was like, let's just talk about everything. Might as well just go like that, man, you know? So, yeah, go ahead.
No, I just, that's why I was laughing. Well, first of all, congrats to them. Day One is the new name of their website. I got to hang out with them a lot during Gamescom this year. Obviously, good group of guys. Really good. John, Jesse, and the crew. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense. And people are going to take their little silly shot. Oh, Xbox is dead and all that stuff. Like, I mean, we hear it. Like, to your point, we've covered all games 15 plus years at this point. I mean, it's, you made that, like you said, you made that switch before I joined GTR, which that was in 2013. So that's just how long it's been. We cover all games. Obviously, we talk about Xbox. We like Xbox and the whole thing. But I just think it's good for any site to just talk about the game. Stop worrying about the platform that they're appearing on. I mean, sure, you might have a preference for a platform, right? And you might deep dive more into talking about that platform than you do the others. But it is healthy to talk about everything. I'm trying to lose my train of thought slightly. But like I said, we've talked about everything. We have for a very long time. I obviously, with Xbox doing the Switch, you know, people, at a point I was going to bring up, Kind of Funny did the same thing last year, because stopped doing XCast and we stopped doing PS I Love You XOXO, and instead they just do Gamescast, and whatever the topic of the day is, that's what they talk about. It doesn't matter if it's PlayStation or Xbox or Nintendo or whatever, you just talk about the games themselves. And obviously, if there's a big hardware reveal or a big service addition on the platform, of course you're going to talk about that stuff, but you should talk about everything. So congrats to them for doing that. And I think their site was already doing well. I think they're going to do even better now, because you're going to get even more people to want to come to the site and check out your reviews and your commentary.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. And, you know, even though we made a change, it was kind of hard at first because we still kept the name. It was hard. People were like, wait, but you're Gamer Tag Radio. I'm like, yeah, we talk about everything.
remember PlayStation, but your name's Gamer Tag Radio.
I know. But no, shout out to PlayStation. But they invited us to multiple things. And, you know, I know they sent you products and stuff to review and talk about on the show. Yeah. Hey,
mind your business. First of all,
it's public knowledge. You posted it online, so there you go. And also, I went to New York a couple of weeks ago for Nintendo. You know, like I went there to try all the games that's coming out in a couple of weeks or soon on Switch 2, and it was fun. See, it's good to make change, man. People don't see the bigger picture. That's how I see it. But
no. And again, 100%. Like, to your point. You know, before the Switch 2 even came out, you went to that big event. I was lucky enough to go to the LA event for you. Just went to the thing this week. We've gone, done obviously multiple things with PlayStation and, you know, do stuff with NVIDIA. Like, it's video games. Talk about the games themselves. Exactly. Capcom obviously is doing a ton of stuff more recently. Square Enix, it's like Ubisoft, obviously we've done a ton with them over the years. It's like, I just care about the games, man. Look, we went to the Battlefield 6 event last year. You know what I mean? EA. So it's like video games. Yep. Worry about the games themselves and not the ridiculous console war stuff. Look, I look at it this way. And Xbox may have made a very drastic pivot that caught some people like myself off guard, because I didn't think they were going to do all this.
But
now that the dust has settled. Okay. Like when they did the Dev Direct, I did not bat an eye that Forza Horizon 6 or Fables on PlayStation. At this point, all that stuff is expected. If you're a fan of Xbox and still thinking a game is not going to show up on another platform, you're fooling yourself. They put in everything. And it wasn't Matt Booty, it was Craig Duncan. Craig Duncan had that big interview a couple weeks ago where he essentially said the only thing that's stopping them from putting games on other platforms is the size of the studio and the time and the resources that they have. If they can day and date a game on multiple platforms, they're going to do it. If they don't have the time and resources to do it, just like Forza Horizon 6 is going to show up on Xbox and PC first, then it's going to come to PlayStation later. You know what I mean? That's the only thing stopping. South of Midnight is another example. Twitch and all that, was it a year later? Because Compulsion is a tiny studio and they didn't have the time and the resources to be able to put it everywhere. So, but end of the day, you play the game where you want. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that's all that matters. It's give me quality games. That's all I care about. I really could care less where they show up at.
Mm-hmm. And look, and shout out to those that have their branded sites. Like, I know, shout out to Gold Nintendo, Kevin and everybody were there. There's a couple other ones, man. PlayStation blogs and podcasts. And it's fine. It's your decision. Like, do whatever you want. At the end of the day, we're all talking about games. it doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? So, but speaking about games, Paris, your thoughts about this rumor that's been going around about Xbox, is it officially coming out 2027? Is it going to get delayed? Like, because I know Steam Machine got delayed, and that was recent. We just heard about that, and still no price for that. I personally think that, yo, take your time. I feel like it's still early, but I think they might announce something later this year. Who knows? But I just want to hear from you. Like, if you think we're going to get to see something next year, or you think it's too early for that?
What have I been saying for a year?
Get delayed.
No, we'll get into that part of it. But no, I've been saying for the longest, you show it at the 25th anniversary. I think we see whatever this next Xbox is in November. We're going to see it. But I think the plan has been you launch it a year later in November 2027. I think we see it now. They do something. Let me just give them a full thing. I think they do something very similar to what they did when they revealed Project Scorpio. If you remember that. Back 2016 or whatever it was, where remember their initial reveal was they got a bunch of devs, because I remember it was like Todd Howard and some other people, and they were kind of talking about the potential of the hardware and what they're going to be able to do with it as far as making games. I think we get a tease like that, where you're going to start seeing that, yes, developers are already starting to make games for this next Xbox, and they tease it. Maybe they actually show what it looks like. Maybe they don't, but they're at least going to talk about it at the 25th anniversary, expected holiday 2027. Now, with all the RAM shortages, again, Lisa Su, head of AMD, obviously came out this week and pretty much confirmed, oh yeah, we're going to have the SOC ready, for a launch window in 2027. So that pretty much tells you, if these RAM shortages and all the crazy stuff that we're seeing right now, if that doesn't delay it, I think that's the target. But with that all said, delay all of this stuff if that means I got to pay a ridiculous inflated price because RAM is so super scarce and super expensive as a result, not to mention whatever PC parts, chips, or whatever wind up being just astronomical prices because the supply chain, you know, is super short because of this AI stuff. If everything goes right, because I think Sony even said they've made some deal, they're going to be able to get a bunch of RAM. So who knows when the PlayStation 6 comes out? If I would assume Microsoft has done something similar, then yeah, I do think we get it holiday 2027. I think we see it later this year. Holiday 2027 is when it's out. But if the shortages affect it, to your point, look, I tweeted it the other day. Everybody should get comfortable with the hardware they got right now. Just get very comfortable with it. Don't expect any new thing. And look, I get the enthusiasts are out there. They don't care. They'll spend whatever. I am a cheapskate. I ain't trying to spend all this crazy amount of money. We already know the next Xbox is going to be expensive anyways, because they told us that. But expensive to me is like $1,000, maybe $1,200, maybe. And even that's crazy to me. But if we're talking $1,500+ for this next Xbox, man, delay it. Just delay it. Mm-hmm. If the reason that it costs that much is because of the RAM shortages, just delay it. That's what I say. Same with the PlayStation 6. This generation, and you know, I've talked about this before, this generation is honestly barely started because of the pandemic and just everything that's gone on. Games have been so delayed. I mean, bro, we're just now getting Fable. They showed Fable in 2020.
I know. That took a long time.
So, I don't think anyone's would shed a tear if you don't get the next Xbox and the next PlayStation until like 2029 or something crazy like that. Because look at the pipeline of games that are still coming that, regardless if a PlayStation 6 or another Xbox comes out, is still going to be playable on your Series X, your PC, and your PS5. Right? Sorrow's about to come out. Wolverine about to come out. Obviously, Fable, Gears E-Day, Clockwork Revolution probably next year. State of Decay 3 probably next year. We know, Intergalactic. PlayStation is probably, maybe that's next year. I would assume 2027 up in there somewhere. There's a ton of Witcher 4 is about to come out. There's a ton of games coming out. God forbid I have to play it on my PlayStation 5 or Xbox that I have now. But look, do I want new hardware? Do I'm excited for new tech? Of course, everybody is. But if they have to delay it because of the state of the world and the economy and just everything that's going on, then delay it. I'm perfectly fine waiting.
Yeah, and even this, like, you know, Switch 2 came out last year, and the numbers is good. It's good, but compared to the original Switch, it's not there. Like, compared to the amount of time when the Switch came out to the end of the year, and then this one, the sales of that one is better. And it's because of the price. Mm-hmm. People are like, you know, with everything that's going on with the economy, people are not going to be buying stuff on day one, or they're going to wait until the right time, or when the product is cheaper, you know? I think we're going to be okay if it gets delayed, because we still have different platforms to still play all these games. It's not like how it used to be. In order for you to play this game, you have to get the newest console. And I think that's not going to happen anymore. It's going to be available everywhere, you know? And here's the thing I was thinking too, Paris, like, that next Xbox is a PC-ish console. Mm-hmm. So what Xbox has now with the S and the X, that's going to eventually go away, and they're just going to focus on making games for PC, but everywhere else. You get what I'm saying? So for the Xbox brand, you still could get it potentially on PlayStation and Switch 2 or whatever, you know? So I think we're gonna be okay, man. It's not like the end of the world if it gets delayed. Now, my question to you, if it does get delayed, when is the right time to release this then? Because if you don't want to push it too far, because then, you know, they're probably going to be worried about the investors, and then consumers are going to buy something else. Like, it's a lot going on behind the scenes for the company, you know? When is the right time
Honestly, it's hard to say. I don't know, because it just depends. If you're delaying it because of shortages, then you can't put it out until you've come to a resolution for the shortages. You've made some kind of supply chain deal to be able to get them. Is that a 1-year delay? Is it an 18-month delay? I don't know. Here's what I'll say. I think ultimately these companies are going to figure it out, so that I do think here's what I think. I think the next Xbox will come out holiday 2027. I do. I think they'll figure it out. I don't think PlayStation was coming out, the PS6 was coming out in 2027 anyways. I think that's more of like a 2028 type of thing. I mean, what did PS5 just sell? They've shipped, what, 91 million or whatever it was. There's a lot of PS5s out there in the world. It's going to be very hard to get people to now say, all right, now I need to go buy the next one. They're going to, because we're already seeing it now with the PS4. They're still trying to get people off the PlayStation 4, let alone get them on the PlayStation 5. So I don't think you're going to see people make that jump very quickly, you know, in the next 2 years to go to PS6. Of course, the enthusiasts, the hardcore, of course they will. I'm just talking about the average person that got a console, because if the games are still playable on my PS5 or my PS5 Pro, why am I buying a PlayStation 6 that quickly? PlayStation's probably better off waiting till like 2028, in my personal opinion, just because there's just so many out there in the market. Whereas Xbox, as we have seen over the past couple of years, they're not selling, and they're not trying to get you to buy one either. They're not putting them, they're limiting the supply that's out there. They've raised the price to a crazy amount. Right. So they're almost like, look, if you got one, great, but we're not trying to get more people on this hardware, because we want people to go buy whatever this next thing is. And even if they don't go buy it, the games will be on a PlayStation. They'll be on the PC. You can stream it on the cloud as well. So I think that's their strategy. And let me say this while I'm talking. Yeah. Because obviously you see a lot of nonsense out there online. You got to understand. And you could pull all the things that people I've said 4 or 5 years ago, fine, hold me accountable to it. But when you get new information and you see what they're doing as a business, Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo, all three of them are doing different things. That's where we are. They're not playing the same game anymore, right? Nintendo clearly a long time ago said, look, we ain't trying to compete on the power narrative no more. We're just going to make affordable hardware. We're going to put our games on this thing, synergize it with our hardware. And look, Switch came out. Boom. Here you go. PlayStation, obviously, still doing more of the traditional thing with exclusives and all that. You buy the hardware, all those things. But they're even saying, hey, we're going to put our games on a PC. We'll put a live service game on Xbox. We'll let you stream it from the cloud. They're experimenting with it. What was it? They had said over $2 billion they've made from other platforms. They're not going to stop. That's money. I don't care what the percentage is. That's still $2 billion. That $2 billion finances them to make other games. That's how that works. Anyways, and Xbox, obviously, with all the acquisitions they made, Bethesda, they were staying exclusive. Activision, wait, you spend how much? Oh, no, y'all got to start making some money. So put it everywhere. And that's what they've done. And they de-emphasize exclusivity. Essentially, exclusivity for Xbox doesn't exist anymore. And like we asked the question a year ago to Phil, all right, why am I buying your hardware? He's saying we're going to do something unique with it that you'll want to go buy it regardless if the game's exclusive to it or not. We will see if that turns out to be true. But the point I'm trying to make is they're not all doing the same thing anymore. The things that the way we grew up with video games where exclusivity, you had exclusivity to go buy the hardware. Xbox isn't doing that anymore. PlayStation is pretty much doing it, but even them saying, hey, if you're willing to wait, you can go play the game on PC. We're not going to stop you. And Nintendo's the only one that said, no, you're by the Switch if you want to play this game. So you just got to look at it that way, man. And when you look at it that way, just logically, reasonably, go, okay, I have choice. I can choose where I want to go play. If I don't like what Xbox is doing, go buy a PlayStation. You can go play the Forza Horizon 6 on the PlayStation. That's what they've told you. But if you like what Xbox is doing, you like the flexibility, the Game Pass and the services and buy the game once with Play Anywhere and go all this stuff, go do that. If you love you some Mario and Donkey Kong, go get a Switch. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all it really comes down to. The rest of the stuff that we see, excuse me, is just noise when it comes to that. People wanting, not liking change, wanting to want their gotcha moment or want to hold on to something that in 2026 is irrelevant. It just is. Regardless of what it was 5 years ago, it's irrelevant today.
Yeah, you know what? I know this thing reminds me a bit when the Xbox 360 came out first in PlayStation. Like, that was something that Xbox was doing at that time. They wanted to be the first before their competitor comes out. And having this console to come out first, or they're trying to come out first before the PlayStation 6, I think that's what they're trying to do. Just to release it. But I know you said something about, well, let me finish. Jesus.
You interrupt me all the time, so I interrupt you too. Go ahead.
I haven't interrupted you at all in this episode, so chill.
This episode.
Yeah, this episode. Hey, the past is the past. But anyways, I think now with this one, I know, like you mentioned, Phil said this on our show last year where they're going to try to do something different with this one. And I think it's having all the other stores from like Epic Game Store, Steam, I don't know, any other apps out there probably going to be also available on that console. So you have the freedom to buy all those games from all the platforms. Even PlayStation games that's on Steam, you buy it on that console there without having a PC. You could just do it through this console, you know. So I think that's the unique part of it. And I think that to me is very interesting. That will make me want to buy the console just for that, because I'm like, wait, I can have a PC / console and I can play all those games on my device. I'm all in. And it's a win for everybody, because not everybody's going to be, every company's going to be making money. You know, it's not just now. How's that going to work though, Paris, with Xbox, similar to like the PC, having all those stores also available there? Do they even get a cut at all, or just nothing at all? Do you know?
No, if Steam and the Epic Store on the next Xbox, which, you know, is 95% confirmed at this point, then if you own a game on Steam, then no, Xbox doesn't get a cut of that.
Then they get a cut.
Because you bought it through Steam. Steam's still going to get their cut. Epic is still going to get their cut. I mean, do they negotiate some kind of deal on the back end or whatever? The fact that it's on that hardware, I don't know. I don't even know if that matters. But I think Xbox's play is now that they're arguably, if not the biggest, probably one or two biggest publishers in the world, is don't forget, their games are also going to be on the Steam store. Their games are also going to be on the Epic store. Sure, they're going to lose a cut to them, but it's about availability, making sure that where you want to play, where you want to buy your games from, their games are going to be available there. And I think that's their strategy moving forward. I think as a consumer, to your point, I look at that, look at what Xbox is attempting to do, obviously what Valve is about to do with the Steam machine. Mm-hmm. I get to have essentially a PC that sits in my living room and I have access to my entire PC digital library. Sign me up. I'm all for that because I get to choose. it's not about where they want me to go. I get to choose. Now, obviously, I think Xbox is going to have to make, you know, there's rumors and stuff, which I don't really think is a rumor. They're clearly overhauling the Xbox app on PC. We've seen the preview they've already done with the Xbox UI for cloud. I think that is where I think you're going to have a unified UI across whatever device that you're on, unless it's on PlayStation or Nintendo, any open platform. That Xbox UI is going to be universal, right? I think the incentive is going to be play anywhere if you want to outright own the game, and then clearly Game Pass, whereas essentially Game Pass is going to have play anywhere aspects to it as well. If I want to play it on my Xbox, I can. If I want to play it on my PC, I can. I want to stream it on cloud, I can. Now, can I play it on a PlayStation or a Nintendo? No. Go buy it again if you want to go play it on there. But that's the incentive that they're saying, that hey, we're going to allow you to play across multiple hardware devices and cloud stream. But if that's not what you want to do, the game's here on PlayStation for you too. It's here on Nintendo for you too, if you so choose. Player choice. That's where I think they're trying to compete now, right? Where like, okay, because look, Phil said it when he was on XCast a few years ago. Crazy interview. We can't out-console PlayStation. They tapped out. Doesn't matter if Starfield's 11 out of 10. We're not going to beat them. All right, if you can't beat them, join them, figure out another way to compete. And that's what they've done. You know, look, my foot's been in my mouth for freaking 2 years over this crap, okay? But that's what they did. You know, you see what they're doing, you learn from it, you get educated on it, and you understand it, and all right, this is what they're doing. Look, Gears E-Day, day one, PS5 Pro, I'll be playing it all there, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, whatever.
Yeah. Speaking on that, there's a question here from Twitch chat.
I don't care. I'm kidding.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
This is Yas from 1984. Says, do you think PlayStation players will buy Gears, Fable, and Call of Duty Tours the end of the year, knowing that Wolverine and GTA 6 are their priority?
Okay.
That's a great question.
I'm answering this because, January 14th, I put the tweet up. And you were, meh.
Wait, which tweet? What are you talking about?
This is what I said. August, you're getting Halo Campaign Evolved.
Yeah.
September, you're getting Fable.
Yeah.
October, you're getting Gears E-Day. And I'm going to slightly amend what I said, but the point still remains. Early November, maybe the last week of October, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4. And I got people, because again, the rumor's coming out. Look, Halo's coming out in August, right? I don't care what nobody say. Yeah, they said summer. Yeah. Summer is August. Mm-hmm. Because even me and Ryan McCaffrey is going back and forth on this. He's convinced. So many people act like Grand Theft Auto 6 is the goddamn boogeyman. Oh no, you can't put out anything in the month of October or November. Why? So you're trying to tell me, and this is I'm asking you this in the chat. You're trying to tell me, because you're not putting Gears E-Day out near Grand Theft Auto 6. That I get. That's why I say October. You're trying to tell me, if Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4 is everything that we've heard the whispers of, that this is a return to form, it's going to be one of the really good Call of Duties. You're trying to tell me that game can't come out 2 weeks before Grand Theft Auto 6 and it's going to fail. It's going to flop. Like people are telling me it's going to flop. Are you kidding?
It's Call of Duty.
If there's any IP that can withstand a Grand Theft Auto release, it's Call of Duty. And if it's a good one, why would you? Because here's my thought is, why would you cram Gears E-Day and let's just say Fable, Gears E-Day, Call of Duty? Essentially, those three games are coming out around September, October-ish timeframe. That's what it seems like, right? Why wouldn't you give Fable time to breathe, which would be September, and then give Gears E-Day time to breathe before Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto 6 come out? Why would you put Call of Duty and Gears E-Day close together? That doesn't make sense to me. Again, if I was Matt Booty, you know what I'm saying? This is the conversation I would be having about release windows right now. If the games are ready, why can't Call of Duty stay in its traditional time slot is all that I'm saying. I don't see a panic move. People, Look, I may or may never got some DMs from some people. Oh, no, they put Call of Duty out first week of October. I'm like, there's no
freaking way. That's way too early.
I was like, they're not doing that. Until I'm proven wrong, I think the earliest you see Call of Duty is the last week of October. That's my thoughts. That was a very long way to answer the question that, yeah, because I think all those games are going to come out with enough space between them that if you're interested in them, you're going to buy them all. That's what I think.
I agree with you. If it was like Gears, Halo, all those games getting close, I'm like, whoo, that's not good. But Call of Duty, I think Call of Duty is going to be fine. Now, is it, let's just say Grand Theft Auto comes out first week of November. When is the right time to release?
No, it's the 19th. Call of Duty? It's November 19th.
But I know, that's 19th.
What I'm saying. We know the day of Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah, it's November 19th. I'm saying make believe is coming out. Let's say November, the first week of November. Let's make believe, right? When is the right time to release Call of Duty then? You don't want to release it after Grand Theft Auto. So you want to keep it as early as possible, right? So
in that scenario, I get it. In that scenario, in your make believe, yeah, of course. But we know it's November 19th. So again, let's just say Modern Warfare 4 is November 3rd. That's 16 days before. You're trying to tell me that's not enough time for a Call of Duty. In that 16 days, I've already played the campaign because, hell, you're going to play that in the first night anyways. And why do most people play Call of Duty? The multiplayer. The multiplayer for Grand Theft Auto 6 isn't going to be there day one anyway. So it's two different genres that I think can live side by side. It's two big AAA tentpole IPs, excuse me, that I think can live side by side. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. I just think people are going very extreme with Grand Theft Auto 6. Of course, it's going to be huge. It's going to be just this transition. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm screwing it up, but it's going to transcend just traditional gaming. It's going to be everywhere. Everyone's going to be talking about this. I get it. But that doesn't mean that a Call of Duty has to, we got to release a month before we normally do to stay away from it. I just don't believe that personally.
Yeah. Yeah, Call of Duty is going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Maybe people are not going to buy it day one because maybe they want to save money for Grand Theft Auto, but eventually maybe they will buy Call of Duty some other time, you know? So maybe during Black Friday. Who knows what's going to happen? But there is people that are going to buy just Grand Theft Auto because that's the only thing they care about.
And of course.
They don't care about NBA 2K, NFL, Madden, all that, like all the mainstream stuff. They're going to win this one, you know? Now, for us, for the hardcore, of course, a lot of us are going to buy multiple games throughout the year, but I think the majority are going to go with just one game, and that could be GTA 6. You know,
I mean, I look at it this way: it's a good problem to have.
It is.
This is in for us. I'm talking about, right. I get publishers; they got trying to make money. I'm sure they're scrambling to figure out these release windows. But for us as a gamer, it's just. I mean, think of this. You know, just think of this. And this is off the top of my head. Like I said, Halo, summer. You're going to get Fable and Wolverine September-ish, right? Gears E Day. There's going to be another Madden, another NBA, Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto 6. I'm forgetting stuff that's supposed to come out this holiday, right? It's like there's going to be so many different games that come out. You know Nintendo's going to have something the holiday, right? So whatever that's going to be. It's just like there's going to be so many awesome games that are going to come out this holiday that you're not going to have enough time to play them all. I get that. But the fact that you're going to be able to choose and there's going to be something there for everybody is a good thing. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this coming up holiday season for games.
You know what? I'm very curious, like how Rockstar is going to promote, because I heard marketing is going to start this summer for GTA 6. Because now, the past couple of years, a lot of companies just wait closer to launch. But yo, GTA, that people have been hearing about this, GTA 6 have been hearing for years. And Rockstar is going to start promoting it, marketing it summer. That is wild to me. What the heck are they going to do during that whole time? You know? Are they going to be at Summer Game Fest? I don't think so. They're going to do their own thing.
They do their own thing.
They're going to do their own thing.
I think the marketing might simply just be, you know, little, you know, they'll do another trailer, obviously, right? Show off gameplay. And then, you know, just posters, sides of buses, buildings. Just let's just keep it in the conversation. You're going to just keep seeing GTA 6 and then you get to that late September, October stuff, you're really kicking in, and then right on into November for launch. I mean, like I said, this will be the biggest video game launch probably in history. I don't think it's crazy to say. Because to the point, not only are we interested in it, there's people that traditionally don't play video games that will go pick that game up. They will literally go buy a PlayStation or an Xbox or whatever just to go play that game. So it's going to be a big deal. Don't get me wrong at all. So I understand now all that. I just think there's other games too. People have to play. Because like I said to one person online, so because he was like, oh, you can't release nothing there. It's going to be a flop if you put it out. I go, okay, so you're telling me no one should release a game the entire month of November then. That's what you're telling me, which that's is not going to happen. And that's my point. That's not going to happen. There's going to be other games that come out in the month of November. I get it. You're not going to put anything on November 19th. That would be insane. I also think that's why Halo is probably coming out August, you know, summertime, because you don't want to release that on November 15th for the 25th anniversary because it's going to get buried. Sure, you'll talk about it on November 15th, and then the next day, everyone's like, well, I'm just waiting on Grand Theft Auto 6. That's what'll happen, you know? So that I get. You don't want to put anything out the week of Grand Theft Auto 6, but I think getting a big game that has its own appeal and its own huge community a couple weeks before, I think it'll be fine. That's my point.
Now, on that side, Call of Duty, yes, it's going to be fine. But those PlayStation owners, that now they're getting Gears of War, E-Day, mm-hmm. Halo, and all these other games in the future for that platform, for that console, are they even going to buy that or just wait until Call of Duty and GTA 6 to come out? Because, you know, it's a lot during that time coming. And I get it. I know Xbox is releasing this summer and those other places, but let's say a game like Grand Theft, Gears of War, October. Mm-hmm. Why play that game? And you could still buy Call of Duty and GTA 6 in November. Like, why go in that route? And you could just wait. Is that going to affect the sales of that? Because remember, Gears of War that just came out for PlayStation 5, was it last year? The numbers is not there compared to Forza Horizon 5. It's not there. Like, it's sold okay.
So let me ask you this question.
Why are you looking at me like that? So, like,
I just said I want to ask you a question. Jesus Christ, I didn't even do nothing. I'm when I pull up the calendar because I want to be correct on this.
Yeah.
So let's say Gears E-Day comes out on October 6th, or let's say October 13th. Mm-hmm. You're trying to tell me I don't have an Xbox. I don't want it. Yuck. I don't want an Xbox.
Right? Wow. Yeah, I'm PlayStation. Clip that, somebody. Put it out. I know. Clip that, please.
You know they will. You know they will.
You were like, see, he's a traitor.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a lot of things. But to my point, I don't have an Xbox. I have no desire to get one. I've never played Gears of War. I didn't even play, you know, the one that just came out last year, Reloaded. Uh-huh. So, but going by that logic of what you're saying, so, and again, I'm trying to just have a real conversation, talk about this, you know, not being funny. When is Wolverine out? Is that September? I'm assuming September. That's just me. Yeah, it could be October. Let's just say Wolverine comes out around that time too. You could be right in the sense of, if I'm not a hardcore Call of Duty guy, or no, sorry, not a whole Call of Duty, but if I'm not a Gears of War guy, maybe that's not something I want to spend time on in the month of October because I got Wolverine. And I know I'm getting Call of Duty and GTA 6 on the back end. Uh-huh. So you could be right on that. That could be a thing. Well, I'll just wait till it goes on sale. I'll go play it later or something like that. I think that, to me, that's the biggest hurdle that Xbox is going to, like, I think, and this is why I also think E-Day is probably the dev direct at the June showcase. I think they got to market the hell out of E-Day, believe it or not. We're there. People watching this right now, we're there day one because we love Gears of War. You got to try to now convince an audience that has never played Gears of War to want to go pick this up. So you really look, Coalition, they got to be cooking with Crisco, showing it off on Unreal 5, showing how great it looks. I know this is going to upset some folks. I think you show it on PlayStation. I do. I do.
What, like a state of play? State of play like that?
I don't think you do that to showcase, but I do think I need to see it running on a PlayStation 5. I need to see it running on the PS5 Pro. Show off how good this game is going to look on the new platform where it's showing up, because essentially Gears E Day is damn near like a new IP. Same with Fable, to be honest with you. It's the same thing, to convince people that, yeah, I want to go pick this up. I want to go play it when it comes out. So I do think marketing wise, they are definitely going to have to really sell people that are not familiar with Gears of War on E Day and why you want to care about Marcus and Dom, why you care about Emergence Day, all these things, the locus, all that. So we'll see. And this goes back to the whole point of this conversation. There's just so many freaking games that are coming out, you know, towards the end of the year that, you know, they're all going to be screaming for your attention. So you really got to do something to stand out. Whereas a Grand Theft Auto 6 and a Call of Duty, not so much, because they're known entities. They're things that are going to sell regardless. Look, as much flack as Black Ops 7 has gotten, still sold a lot. Look, it's not as sold. as much as you normally expect for a Call of Duty, but for any other game, they did pretty gosh darn good, you know? And This was considered a very weak Call of Duty. So imagine you come out with a really good Call of Duty with Modern Warfare 4. It's going to sell well, you know? And obviously Grand Theft Auto 6 is Grand Theft Auto 6. But I know you brought up Gears E Day, but I think this applies to Fable too, just bringing that into the conversation. I thought what we saw at the Dev Direct was fine. I'm there day one. You got me. But again, I played Fable back in the day. I know what Fable is. Look, there may or may not have been a YouTuber that I may or may not have had a little something with back in the day. He was talking about it because I saw a clip of it. Uh-huh. He's never played Fable, and he was confused on why you did certain things. Why are you getting married? Why are you doing, like, he didn't understand Fable, right? So to him, it didn't seem appealing. And regardless of whatever you think of that dude, I think it's valid in that you got to educate a new audience on Fable, because there's a lot of people who have not played Fable. There's a lot of not everybody old like us and played Fable back in the day. So it's damn near a new IP too. So not just a PlayStation, I think the Xbox audience too. There's a lot of people on Xbox and PC that have not played Fable. And now you got to explain that IP to them, the appeal of it, show it off. So to that point, I think Fable and Gears E Day, Xbox is going to have to do a lot of work on that to show off those games, to get people to understand what they are and to be excited about them. Because people watching this right now, that's not the audience they need to convince. We're getting it day one. They need to convince other people that have not touched these franchises and don't understand what the appeal is supposed to be for them.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Out of all those games that you mentioned, I'm a little bit worried about Gears of War E Day because of that. Because one, Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto coming around the same around that time, right? Fable, Xbox could play around with it, you know, move it around, whatever. But but having it that close to Call of Duty and GTA 6, that's scary. That's from Gears of War. And here's the thing: Gears of War doesn't have the buzz how it used to be when it came out during the 360 era. It doesn't have that buzz like that anymore, man. And like you were saying about Fable, it's been so long. Of course, there's a lot of young people that have never played Fable when it came out during the early days of Xbox, and it's been so long. But I can see Fable being a success more than Gears of War because of the time of release when the game comes out. So that's the part I'm kind of like, man, I don't know how they're going to do it with Gears, bro.
I personally think Wolverine is, believe it or not, I think you kind of got to see when Wolverine comes out to when you're releasing those two games as well. Because I think Wolverine is going to have a lot of appeal because it's Wolverine. It's like Spider-Man. That game coming from Insomniac, with Insomniac's DNA and their pedigree making Marvel games, that's going to be huge when it comes out at launch as well. Again, I'm assuming September-ish, October for that. So let's put it this way. I would not want to put out Fable or Gears of War E Day the same week as Wolverine.
But the only difference, Paris, is only one platform compared to multiple platforms. That's the difference.
I get it. Trust me, I understand that part. There's going to be, you're going to have more access to Fable in Gears E Day than you would Wolverine. But going back to something we said before, allegedly there's 90 plus million PlayStation 5s out there right now too. So there's a lot of people that are going to have access to Wolverine.
Yeah. But here's the thing though. Here's the thing. Does that matter to No Power? Because a
lot. It does. Okay.
Spider-Man 2 compared to Spider-Man 1 sales wise at that time, I don't know now, but at that time, Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man sold more than Spider-Man 2.
Can I answer that question?
Hold on. Ratchet and Clank, the numbers is not up there, you know, compare. You get what I'm saying? So, like, I think I wouldn't be that worried.
Can I answer the question?
Hold on. Now, if you're a PlayStation owner and you're trying to decide, man, should I buy Wolverine or Gears? I think they're going to go with Wolverine than Gears of War. So that's the part that's like, how are they going to do it? So I don't know. Look, it sounds stressful as hell if you're like behind the scenes trying to figure that out. That sounds stressful, but that just go ahead. You can answer the question.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to answer the question now.
Yeah, we're just having fun, guys. This is just sort of having fun.
Go ahead. I'm not. I'm dead serious. I'm angry now.
It's the power of stress. He went, yuck.
Yeah, yuck. To answer your question about what we're talking about, let's start with Ratchet and Clank first. Mm-hmm. You have to remember, Ratchet and Clank, when it came out, PS5 only, right?
Yeah.
There's probably 60 million more PlayStation 5s people own now than they did when Ratchet and Clank came out. And then to your point about Spider-Man 2, there's probably about 30 million more people that own a PlayStation 5 from when Spider-Man 2 came out for that very reason. That's why I'm saying if there's 90 million people globally that have access to a PlayStation 5, that's a lot of goddamn people that could potentially play that game that has access to it. I'm just talking to access. I'm not saying they're going to run out and buy it. I'm just saying it's available to that many people. So I do think that matters. And it's Wolverine, probably the second most popular Marvel IP behind Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Like I said, I would not want to compete. Like I said before, I feel like Fable and Gears E-Day to a PlayStation audience is damn near a brand new IP. So do I want to compete head to head with something that's known for the same consumer to go pick up? If I'm a PlayStation guy and Gears E-Day and Wolverine both come out in the same week, I'm picking up Wolverine. That's what I'm saying, because I know Wolverine. I know Insomniac. I know what I'm going to get from that. I'll wait for reviews and pick up Gears E-Day later. Wait, and now Call of Duty's out. Okay, I'll wait a little bit later. Oh, Grand Theft Auto 6 is out. Okay, you know what? I'll pick it up early next year. I'm just trying to think as a consumer, right? The average consumer, not the super hardcore guy, just the average, my neighbor. What is he going to go do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, I feel like this conversation is fascinating, but how can Xbox convince people and also the newcomers to buy Gears of War E-Day? Is it the story?
Show it a lot. You got to show it. I mean, you got to show it. You got to talk about it. You got dev interviews. Like I said, this is why I think it's the dev direct at the showcase, because they know millions of eyeballs are going to be on that. You got to show me Gears E-Day. You got to explain what Emergence Day is. You got to explain the relationship between Marcus and Dom. Devs doing the circuit. They're going to come talk to us and everybody else. Like, really get out there and show off this game, so that people understand what it is. Make sure it's a look, partner with NVIDIA, whoever the hell you got, path tracing or the 5012, all these things you got to do. Show it off. Visual showcase, compelling story, great third person over the shoulder gunplay, right? It's Emergence Day, a story we've been waiting 20 years to see. All this stuff. That's what you got to do to convince people that damn it. You know what? I think I want to play this. You know what I'm saying? Get people excited about it. Don't rest on the laurels of Gears of War and walk away. No, there's not enough people that are going to be that excited about it that have never played Gears of War that are going to run out day one and go pick it up. We will, because we know Gears of War. Hey, I was at the Gears of War launch party 20 years ago, my old ass. We'll get it. But what about PlayStation guy that did not pick up Reloaded last year and has never played Gears of War? Mm-hmm. That's the person you got to convince.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I remember during the 360 era, the thing that convinced me the most about getting the first Gears of War at that time and also it convinced a lot of people at that time too. We actually got to see gameplay for the first time. And we're like, wait, this is for the Xbox 360? Wow. Now, is it going to be like that for this time? Because the graphics, we see so many games that look so real and good. It has to be more than just that, man. It has to show gameplay. Is it fun? You know, because look, at that time, story wasn't like the reason why we bought that game. It was because the way how it played and it looked, you know? So how can Xbox do that now in 2026? It's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to do it.
It absolutely is. It absolutely, Tina is going to walk into Tina's office like, Tina, I need you to do your thing.
People don't know who Tina is.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was going to say that. But the point is that team's going to, they're going to have to cook. Not that they have to. Like, okay, let me back it up. Think what you want about Starfield, right? Whatever. To me, that's the best dev direct they ever did was that first Starfield, that first dev direct in June. I'm talking at that level. I was completely sold on Starfield just off of that dev direct. So that's what I'm saying. I think whatever they show in June needs to be at that level for them. And, you know, we know that team. We know those people that put that production together. They're more than capable of doing it. So I'm excited personally. You know, as a fan, I can't wait to play Gears of War E-Day. I just think when you look at the holiday lineup and just the heavy hitters that are coming this holiday, it's not at the top of the list, believe it or not, which is crazy to say. But it's not. It's not. I think if it's in the top five, it's probably fifth.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, Paris. What was the last dev direct right after the showcase last year? What was the game that they showed right after that?
Outer Worlds 2.
And look at the sales numbers of that one.
And they went more comedic. They tried to be funny. And look, we've been upset. Like, it's funny. We were in there. We saw where they filmed it all because we went to the studio, which is so funny. But remember, they had a more comedic tone with it, right? Whereas I think Starfield really nailed space exploration, this new thing. Like, they're really showing off something. It felt like this epic thing that you're about to encounter. I think with Gears of War E-Day, and I've said this before, Gears of War needs to get back to its roots of being more sci-fi horror and show a very dark, gritty game. Like, damn, the locusts are freaking scary. That's what I want to get. That's the thing I want to pull out of that dev direct from them, that, man, this is going to be brutal. This is going to be a little scary, you know, kind of thing. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. But yeah, the Outer Worlds 2 one, and I guess we haven't really talked about it too. Obviously, Xbox came out and said that sales, you know, that Outer Worlds 2 and Avowed underperformed for Obsidian. Personally, I love both games. I thought both games were fantastic. Well worth your time playing. I think what I said, what if you played them from start to finish, I think you will like what you have played. It would have been well worth your time to play. Unfortunately, it didn't sell that well. And that sucks because I love Obsidian. I've been trumpeting Obsidian for years. I love those games. But, you know, they're already said they're not going to make an Outer Worlds 3. They're going to do something else. Pretty sure it's not going to be New Vegas 2. So we'll see what the next thing is from Obsidian. But, a little bummed to hear that. Obviously, Grounded 2 has done great, but technically that's still early access. It's not a 1.0 game, but they're a fantastic developer. So a little bummed to hear that it underperformed, but I think if you have the chance to go play The Outer Worlds 2 or Avowed, go do it. And Avowed's about to come to PlayStation 5, I think, what, next month or something, too,
is
as
it,
well. So
is it March? I thought it was this month. Oh, March?
Oh, yeah, no, it I might think be. Is it this month? Yeah, I know it's pretty soon.
It is disappointing because, yo, I love both of those games. And they also got nominated at Game Awards. I can't remember exactly what was the category, but yeah, like, people got great reviews, both games. Like, what else you could do? I feel like nowadays there's so much competition. There's so much. It's hard to convince people, man. You have to think about, okay, yeah, the game is fun, but I don't even have the money to do that. And now, you're not everybody's going to be subscribed to Game Pass. So it's getting complicated for a lot of people, man. It's a lot.
It is. I just saw this in the chat because you talked with Will Powers about Crimson Desert.
Yeah.
And look, it's so funny, just timing and everything. I've had a few different opportunities to preview it, and every time something happens and I haven't, I know you talked to Will. Will's kind of done the circuit, talking like Destin and some other people. Is what, like, everything I've seen about it, I'm like, man, this looks ambitious as hell. This big open world that they're doing and all I've seen, like the combat video, all these things. I'm absolutely there day one to go play it. But I do think it is fair to ask the question, is it too good to be true? Because I'm going to tell you, Danny, it looks too good to be true. I'm going to tell you another game that looked too good to be true that wind up being exactly what they showed. The Witcher 3. Mm. I remember that back then. I'm like, man, there's no way in hell they're doing all this. They can't pull this off. And look, it had some technical bugs at launch, but the game, the core game of what CD Projekt Red was doing with The Witcher 3 is absolutely what they showed back in 2013 for it. So I'm looking at Crimson Desert, and it just reminds me a lot of that. I'm like, man, if they can pull all this off at a high level, it is going to be one of those sneaky, I didn't see it coming kind of games for a lot of people, I think. So I'm definitely rooting for it. I want it to be great. You know, I know some people are concerned about not seeing console gameplay. I do think they need to show it, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, again, bringing up CD Projekt Red, obviously, Cyberpunk. We need to see what the console versions are going to look like. But the PC version obviously just looks amazing. I'm rooting for it. I want to see Pearl Abyss just knock this out of the park and come out of nowhere, you know, with a haymaker and make their stamp in the industry this way. Because like I said, this game looks ambitious as hell.
This is
like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, is this real? But okay, they say it's real.
Here's the thing though, Paris. Like I got to play the game. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I can't remember exactly when I got to play it.
Probably last year.
No, it was two years ago.
Was it the Game Awards?
The Game Awards.
Because I missed that one. Yeah.
I got to play it. I had a great time, but it was only a small portion of the game. It wasn't like me going anywhere. I was fighting against some bosses, mini bosses too. I had a blast.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Paris. One thing that you mentioned a few minutes ago, every version I got to see, that version, I know it was at Summer Game Fest last year, and videos and everything, it's all been PC, but we haven't seen anything console. And that's the part I'm a little worried. I'm like, man, I want this game to succeed. Like, it looks ambitious as hell. But why not show the console version?
Well, it goes back to a convo. Remember, it was us. We were having this. Weren't we having this convo with Pete or something about when?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, about when to show. I think it's that, in that you want to put your best foot forward visually. So, of course, you're going to show the PC version. But I do think, again, before launch, you need to show me the Xbox and PlayStation version of these games. And I know someone is saying in a chat about PS5 Pro and the PSSR 2.0 could be under NDA, so they can't show that off yet. That could be a valid point as well, because we know that's about to come too. But you got to show it before I'm putting my money down to go play this on a console. I need to see it running on a console, or you're going in with blind faith at that point. So I want to see the console version before, like, I'm going to play it on PC, but you get my point. People are going to play it on console. I want to see it on console.
Ooh, Xbox Series S. That's going to be rough.
But this is my point. I want to see it. Show me what it looks like.
Here's the thing. Companies don't want to mess up, especially now with this hype of that game. If they show something that is not good, it will ruin the whole marketing. It will ruin the messaging. People are going to say, oh, that's the PC version. Because a lot of people are not educated. So it's something that I know why they haven't shown the console version yet. But CD Projekt Red did that. They did show Cyberpunk console version. Remember? Everyone was like, oh.
But they didn't.
They did.
They did, but they didn't.
Wait,
remember?
Mean they didn't?
Remember, because fam, the tweet's still up. People give me shit for this to this very day. They showed the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X versions of Cyberpunk. They did not show the Xbox microwave oven version or the PS4. Because remember, those were the ones that were having the issue. And my dumb ass went out there and go, we just saw the console. We're nothing to worry about. It looks great. People still cook me over that to this day, and deserved, because I jumped the gun. I assumed. This is what you learn. You learn from your mistakes. I don't assume anymore. So to your point, you need to show me the Series S version. I ain't assuming shit with the Series S. I need to see what it looks like. I need to see what the baseline PS5 version looks like. I assume on the Series X and the PS5 Pro, it'll be fine. But I want to see the baseline versions as well, because I think there's people that only own those consoles that are interested in the game, and they deserve to see it. This is what I think they're going to do. Mm-hmm. You put out a YouTube video where you show all the different console versions, right? And look, and then at the very end, you show the Series X version.
You show the 8-bit version.
And you're like, look, you see it. I showed you. And that way people know, they were like, yuck, I need to go get a Series X or a PS5 Pro or something, right? That's what I think they're going to do. That's just me.
Do you think that's going to run well on the Steam Deck?
I'm glad you brought that up. I wasn't even thinking about the handhelds. Yeah, I kind of need to see it on the Steam Deck and the Ally. Notice I didn't say Ally-X. Ally. I need to see it on that too.
Ally-X is going to be fine. It's Ally. Yeah, yeah. Ally, yeah. Yeah.
But to the point, Will, and Will's been consistent with Will Powers. He's the one that has been doing PR, you know, going around doing interviews. He's been consistent. Like, look, we're in the optimization phase where I don't want to speak on something that hasn't been completely locked in yet. And that's fair. And I think people need to give Prolabis that grace that allowed them to lock in whatever the final optimization is going to be look like. And once they've done that, now you can go show me.
Is the release of that? Is that March?
March. It's March. Yeah. So they got time. They still got a few weeks.
But it went gold way before, ahead of a month before. We usually get it like a month before release, but it's been like 2 months and they went gold.
Yeah, but you got to remember, going gold doesn't mean that much anymore. Games will go gold and they'll continue to optimize, because what's going to happen, they're basically gone gold so that any physical versions of the game, they can put it on a disc and ship it. And then what's going to happen? Day one patch. That's all that is.
Yeah, I'm getting the PC version. I feel safer. I mean, I usually buy the PC version.
I mean, look at it this way. Look, the world's on fire, all this stuff. It's getting harder and harder with the RAM prices. Look, NVIDIA's, they tapped out. They're like, yeah, y'all ain't getting nothing new in about 2028. But this, I think, is a part of the reason why Xbox is flipping more towards, but Sarah Bond said it, we want Windows to be the best place to play. Because I think PC gaming is becoming more and more adopted to be the way that you want to play games. I know me personally, as much as we talk about consoles, and I got an Xbox right there, PS5 Pro staring right in front of me. If I have a choice, I'm playing on PC, because it's, I have all the bells and whistles for that. So if you have a high-end gaming PC, you're going to default to that. That's just common sense. But not everyone does that, and that's fair. That's the point of consoles. So you got to balance both with that, so that people understand what they're buying. Because you could show me Crimson Desert running on a 5090 all day, but what does it look like running on the Series S? That's what people need to see.
Mm-hmm. Rihanna wrote, cries in Series S and Ally.
But that's the point of what Rhea is saying. That's 100% spot on. That's a lot of people. That's millions of people that are crying in Series S and Ally. So you need to show these games running on that. If you're going to sell me a game running on it, I need to see it. You can't hide it. And I'm not saying, again, we know some people out there are trying to make a bigger deal out of it than it is. I don't think Prolabis is trying to mislead anyone or hide it. I think what Will said is true. We're not ready to show it to you yet because we're still optimizing it. And we know how game development works. Man, it goes to the last minute sometimes before you lock things in. So I'm willing to give them a few more weeks to lock it in before they show it off. That's all. I think that's fair.
Yeah. And the rumor, say the play is happening soon, sometime this month. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the right time to show it.
It ain't a rumor.
I heard it's not a rumor either, but I just want to say rumor because it's not official yet. But I think that's the right time to show it. That will be the biggest opportunity to show it there. Because we've seen the PC version all the time, but show the console version, PlayStation. Hey.
Yeah, because it looks like PlayStation has the marketing for it. Because look, look, kind of fair. So people were a little put off that on the PlayStation, YouTube channel that showed the PC version. I do think, and this is
not like, good.
You should be showing the PlayStation version on the PlayStation channel. I think that's fair. I do. Look, at least Xbox are kind of getting away. Wait, we're on PC too. So you can show the PC. But PlayStation, you should be showing the PlayStation version. I think that that is a valid critique as well. But to your point, whatever the state of play allegedly is happening, whenever it happens, if it's, I'm assuming it's a partner showcase, it would make sense to show it there. And then you better be showing the PlayStation version if you're going to have it there and not a PC mm-hmm. version.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up? We talk a lot of business and sales and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, because we're kind of in that weird middle space right now. I mean, because Resident Evil is probably the next big release.
Yeah, that's the end of the month.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Resident Evil, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
Bro, let me tell you, man. I was so impressed playing that on the Switch 2. I was like, whoa, this is the Switch 2? Paris, smooth. I was impressed. Like, how the hell Capcom pulled this off? And it was that and Pragmata. Back to back. Yo, Capcom killed it at that event.
It's funny. I feel like the Shaq meme where he was like, I need to apologize. I wasn't familiar with your game. Mm-hmm. I've always liked Capcom. But I think I kind of not dismissed them. I've definitely underestimated them over the past few years. Mm-hmm. Yo, Capcom been throwing some heat. They've been throwing some heat over the past few years. Like when I played Pragmata last year at Summer Showcase, I walked out of that. It was funny because you go through the early demo and then right at the end, you're like, oh man, this is getting good. They're like, get out, demo's over. Like, mm-hmm. man, they're like, see the potential in it. Omnimusha looks really good. Obviously, getting to play Resident Evil because I played at Gamescom last year.
Yo, they're not playing around.
Yeah, they do anything.
Now, should there be a Resident Evil 9 demo as they play, like, available now? Because this is a couple weeks before launch. Might as well. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, because that demo has been out for a while. It's playable. Might as well. Why not?
Yeah.
Let people play.
I think that would be cool.
Because I'm telling you right now, you play that demo, you're going to go buy it.
let me tell you, if Capcom announced demo available now on PlayStation, right? But then they also released that demo on Switch 2 and also on Xbox and also Steam, PC, bro, release that demo, bro. That could be like, it would remind me of like Bioshock. Remember when Bioshock demo came out? Everybody's like, yo, what? Because there's people that are still not convinced, probably. Like, I need to play it. You play that, especially on the Switch 2, bro, people are going to be impressed, how good that game looks. Potential game of the year. Potential.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think it's going to be. Before I forget.
Yeah.
So I was talking with Trey, my son, the other night. He started playing Halo in chronological order. So this is why it's funny. He was playing in chronological order. So he started with Reach and then he went to Combat Evolved and then Halo 2. He's about to start playing Halo 3. But it was funny talking to him because he started with Reach and then he went back
to one,
he was like, whoa. He was like, it just completely threw him off. And I just laughed because I go, yeah, I mean, that was Bungie's last Halo game was Reach. And at that point, all the lessons learned, all the refinements, Sprint was in there, like all the, armor, like all the things that they have done. And he was like, yeah, he goes, Reach was the best story. It was the best gun, like all that. I was like, yeah, because Bungie had figured it all out by then. So them going back to the beginning, he was seeing how he's like, oh, I can kind of see where they were starting to. I see where they started with this. And he played Halo 2 and the dual wielding and all that. And you could hijack vehicles. He's like, oh, this is when they started it. So this has been fun. He hasn't played Halo 3 yet. So I'll have to talk to him next week.
That is interesting.
See what he thinks about Halo 3. But yeah, he's going through each Halo right now, which is just funny.
Do you think, before we wrap it up, do you think if he were to start playing it at campaign involved, right after Reach, he would have tapped out? Because that one has Sprint. The other one didn't have Sprint. So it's
you're saying the new one.
The new one. the campaign.
I think he'd have been fine because I explained that to him because he had saw me when I was, you know, remember when we demoed it, when I played it. So I was explaining it to him that I was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Now it has Sprint in it and all that. He was like, oh, thank God. So he's actually excited to play Campaign Evolved, when that comes out later this year because he was like, man, I can't imagine how y'all were playing this back then. No, like
that
I was like,
because at that time we weren't thinking about sprinting. Yeah, we weren't. I mean, look, man, I remember when Perfect Dark Zero came out, that game didn't have no jump. And we were like, yo, we're so used to have seeing games with you could jump and you can't jump on that. So
yeah,
now playing a game without sprint, that's like wild to me. Wild.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And because he's playing, because he's playing the Master Chief Collection, so it's the he's playing the Anniversary Editions, right?
Oh, the Anniversary.
So, you know, you could flip the button. So he's playing where they updated the graphics, and he was complaining even about that. Like, oh man, the graphics are really dated. And then he said that right at towards the end, he realized he could flip it to the original graphics from 2001.
Oh, it's even worse.
And he was like, oh my God, how did y'all play this? I go, back then. Freaking great.
That was great.
Yeah, yo. You weren't complaining at all. I go, it just shows you how far it's all come. But I was explaining to him that was the game that showed you that first person shooters can work on console because at that point it was only on PC. You really saw that. I go, that was the one that proved that you can do multiplayer first person shooters with a controller on a console and it changed everything. So, it's just fun that he's playing it.
Let me tell you something, man. I remember playing Halo, the first Halo at the event in 01, and I had to use the big Xbox controller, the Duke. And I wasn't, because look, I'm used to playing Perfect Dark and GoldenEye with one analog stick. Yo, when I had to play that with both analog sticks, it was weird for me at that time. I had to like really get used to it after a while, of course. But at that time, it was rough, like. Pointing up, and I'm like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I'm not a mouse or keyboard guy at all.
I've told the story many times at this point, but like E3 2001 was the first one I ever went to. And, you know, I'd show those pictures of me at the Xbox booth playing Halo. And it was so buggy. I was like, this Xbox thing is never going to work. Like, this is not going to work. Because I was there for the GameCube. I was there for, you know, Mario and Luigi's Mansion and all that stuff. And I remember just like, man, this Xbox thing ain't gonna work. I had no care for Halo when the Xbox launched. To this day, I don't even know why I bought it at launch because I didn't play it for a month. I just got it to get it because it was the quote unquote big game at launch. And it wasn't until a month later I put it in to play and I go, oh, wait, this is pretty freaking good. Wow. You know, and you know, the rest is history. But yeah, if you go back in time to 01, a lot of people did not think we'd be here 25 years later with Xbox. We just thought Microsoft was trying this thing. It ain't going to work. Nintendo, PlayStation, Sega. that was the thing. Yeah.
You know, I still have that EGM issue, GameCube versus Xbox. And that one, that's where they gave Halo, the first original Halo, a 10, all perfect score. 10, mm-hmm. 10, 10. You know, that part convinced me like, yo. And I was a little disappointed. I'm like, man, Star Wars for the GameCube, it is good, but it's too short, like way too short. So, but it got good reviews too at that time too. But
let me ask you this. And I we're still in the regular show, right?
Yeah, regular show. Hey, long one for you guys.
So I haven't seen the whole list, but I know IGN, Ryan and all them, they did the top 100 Xbox games of all time. Okay. And I know Blessing and Mike, we're also doing one on Kind of Funny, and I didn't watch the whole thing, so I apologize for that. But I want to ask you, what do you think is the number one Xbox game of all time? And when I say that, I'm not saying something that had to have been made by Xbox Game Studios. It could have been something that was third party that was, quote unquote, exclusive to Xbox at the time.
That's a great question. So I'll tell you my top three 360. Yes. Let's go with top four. Cause I had, this one's going to be kind of hard to put it in no order. Lost Odyssey should be there. Knights of the Old Republic should be there. BioShock, the first game, 100%. I think Halo 3. Halo 3, Halo 2, I think changed matchmaking and online gaming forever. But like fun without bugs, because Halo 2 had way too many bugs and the story was weird how it ended. I think Halo 3, in my opinion. Am I right of those games? Or
no, I think everything you said is valid. I'll give you mine. And this is definitely my number one.
Okay.
And the rest, I don't really have an order, but this is my number one. Knights of the Old Republic. Knights of the Old Republic is the best Xbox game ever made, in my opinion.
Ever made.
After that, I think a Mass Effect 2. I think a BioShock.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think a Halo 3. And then I feel like Gears of War 2. Oblivion has to be in there somewhere too. You know what I'm saying? Like it gets a little murky at that point, because that's why I said games you could only play on that console. You couldn't play them on PlayStation at the time. So Oblivion was definitely one of those, right? Oblivion has to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I think Mass Effect 2, you could have played on PlayStation launch, I think, at that point. But even still, that's where I played it, right? BioShock for sure. You could take your pick of the Halos, which one you want to put in there, but at least one Halo has to be in the top five. For me, I think it's three, because I thought it was the perfect culmination. I totally with you on Lost Odyssey. And that's what I mean. At that point, it's just your personal preference or how you want to mix and match them. But that definitely has to be in there. I think Gears of War 2 was the sweet spot for the series. For me, I'm forgetting an RPG. I know I'm forgetting an RPG I'm blanking on right now.
RPG,
but
not Blue Dragon.
Not Blue Dragon, no.
Not Blue Dragon. Like, it had the potential, but it wasn't
Yeah. Well, it wasn't, I guess it's multi-platform, so I guess this really doesn't count, but I almost feel like Modern Warfare, man. But that's really, I don't think that counts, because that was everywhere.
I would. It had the exclusive at that time, like the marketing exclusive, you know, but nah.
I feel like the first Fable is probably top 10-ish.
You know what? Tell the truth. I will not put Fable, any of the Fables up there, man. It's fun, but it's not like,
that's like what I mean.
All time. What about Project Gotham? Will you put, I know DR mentioned this from on YouTube. Shout out to him. Project Gotham.
I actually would say Forza 2.
Forza
2. I think the second one was when they really started to nail everything community-wise. Obviously, the libraries with the custom creations and all that they had. I think Forza 2 definitely deserves to be in the top 10.
Yo, Thirsty Panda said, just said Radio Future. I love that game. I'll put it not in my top 5. I'll put in my top 10, but not my top 5. But it's a really good pick. Yeah, that's a really good pick.
But for me, I mean, it, bro, not even close. Knights of the Old Republic at one. Because I was blown the F away with the twist.
It was better than the trilogy, than the prequel. Yes,
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, and I know I know Obsidian worked on part 2. It was good, but it was not one.
No, it was not one. Yo. It was not one.
That twist.
Oh my God.
I couldn't believe it. And yo, at that time, I was away from all the spoilers. So I was like, yo, no way.
And that's what I was going to say. That, because think about, social media didn't really exist back then. Unless you went to a message board or like, it wasn't spoiled for me. I just remember random night, I'm just playing and then it happened. And it was like, my God.
Yeah.
Insane.
Was that the number one game on that list?
I don't know what their number one was, but that's what I'm saying. For me, I know Knights of the Republic's number one for me. Actually, I probably could pull.
Yeah,
it
you should
up
go. We're still recording, but I'm still curious. I'm very curious to see what was the number one game. I am so curious.
Let's see, top 100 Xbox games of all time.
Let's see. Look, Knights of the Republic has to be in the top 5. Top 3. I'll go with top 3.
Their number 1, I'm going to go from 1 and backwards. Okay. Their number 1 is Halo 3.
I mean, for me, it's Halo 3.
Number 2 is Mass Effect 2.
That's a good choice.
Number 3 is Grand Theft Auto 5. Number 4 is Gears of War 3. And number five is Halo 2.
Yo, Knights of the Republic is not a top five.
BioShock is six. I'm just going backwards. I'm reading it as I'm saying. BioShock is six. Inside is seven. Forza Horizon 5 is eight. Combat Evolved is nine.
What?
Knights of the Republic is 10th.
Crazy.
Insanity. I don't agree with that.
Yo, that's insanity.
And I get, they got the three Halo games in there. Okay. I have a hard time putting all three of them in there. Cause I just feel like you're taking away from other games that I think deserve to be up there as well. That's why I would just default to say three. And then, you know, I would pick some other ones. I get it though.
You know what I'll put up there in the top five, top 10, top 10. You know what I will put it? That's not mentioned at all. Geometry Wars. That, let me tell you, that was the best $5 game that I ever bought in my life. That was like, I was playing that for years for that game.
I'm looking at what they have. Well, I'll back up a sec. They had Oblivion at 12, but they got Splinter Cell Chaos Theory 13. That has to be in my top 10.
That's my top 10.
Oh my God. Freaking love me some Chaos Theory.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Was that the one? Cause I know that was branded Xbox with the whole green and at that time. I remember that was like a big deal when that game came out.
I remember going to the whatever year that was, the E3, and they had Ubisoft had a whole demo of showing the gameplay from it. I was like, oh my God, this is gonna be the best Splinter Cell ever. Because remember, Spy versus Mercs was in Pandora Tomorrow, and then Chaos Theory, they had the co-op gameplay.
Yeah.
That was Chaos Theory, and they had that demo showing it. I was like, oh my God, I'm in. This is going to be the greatest thing ever.
Yo, what the heck is wrong with Ubisoft not releasing that game, yo? Like a new missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But they'll release cosmetics and all this other stuff and a mobile game, but not the actual game? Crazy.
You know what? They got it 22, Left 4 Dead 2. I get it.
You know what?
I get it. For console, I get it. Yeah.
For console, what about Portal?
I think it should be up there. To your point, the orange box. Yeah.
The orange box, right? Be. That package was, yo, Half-Life 1, 2, and Portal.
Look, for me personally, when I just think games overall, Portal 2 is one of the best games ever made.
Yeah.
You can't convince me differently. I freaking love Portal 2. And then the mods, and like I play that Portal Revolution mod that came out for it more recently, just the puzzle complexity that bro, it's freaking great. And then if you get the story right, like Portal 2 story, Stephen Merchant, oh my God, he was hilarious in that. But it's one of my all-time favorites, for sure.
What's for this generation, best Xbox Series XS game of all time?
Forza Horizon 5. It's Forza Horizon 5. Because, like, they had Forza Horizon 5 in their top 10, which I get. And I think when we're talking, I'm thinking, obviously, the legacy games. But when I think newer games, Forza Horizon 5 is definitely the best thing Xbox has done this generation.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% agreed.
Yeah, like, bro, they got Fallout New Vegas at 31. That's crazy talk. Sorry.
Yeah, that should be way higher than that. Vegas is the best one out of all the
Fallout it's the best games. One. Yeah.
Wait, don't tell me they have 3 and 4 higher than that.
They got Fallout 3 right behind it at 32.
Oh, so that's the highest one from Fallout.
Yeah, New Vegas is 31, and then Fallout 3 is 32. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, we're going to wrap it up. This is a long episode, by the way. We're going to wrap it up. We'll probably do like a little after show because I have to go in. Paris has to go too.
What do you mean I have to go? Why are you speaking for me?
We got things to do, man. Super Bowl weekend. To the Super Bowl. I don't know. I heard you visiting. I don't know. You know what? Don't come. You don't want to tell people that? What the heck?
Yeah.
All right. But everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. Pretty long one, man. But we had a great conversation overall. The majority was pretty much freestyle, but that's how we do it. All right. Until next time. We're out.